Fellow Freedom fans, we're back. We're back again. We're going to talk about some heady things, because do we want to just get caught up in the passionate discussions of the issues of the day and get swept up with different political activist groups who are going to make summary statements to try to motivate you into action that will be in the bent of what they would prefer? No, what we're going to try to do, sad but true, is have you burn calories with your brain. You can be sitting in your car burning calories, just adding up the opportunity to indulge in a few extra Weight Watcher points, because we're going to be burning calories by using our minds. That's why a lot of people don't like to listen to talk radio, because sometimes it does that. Sometimes you just hear wah, 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 people being rude, people complaining. I mean, there's one guy out in New York says,
why do you call me? You're an idiot. Don't call. Get off the phone, you idiot.
There's guys that do that. We don't do that here unless we're making fun of those kind of, if anybody can tell me who that is, don't call. I think that was actually a pretty good depiction. So we're going to discuss today the nomination of Sonia Sotomayor. And I went to some, again, a conservative group saying, oh, she's anti-religion. Again, I think she's going to surprise people. I'm getting the hint. I get the impression I get is she doesn't have she's got some strong leadership personality, but not necessarily legal theory application. I don't know what the kind of phrase you would use to actually take law and apply it well. She seems to me more of a district court judge, somebody who can take guidance from up above and apply it based on what is given to her without exercising any what would be considered judicial activism. So the tough part about that is that what you want? It'll be interesting to have somebody, if she gets finally nominated, she'll probably get approved. I just, who knows? She doesn't have enough activism or anything like that to make anybody strongly against her, I don't think. But the thing is, whether or not she's actually up to the task, we'll see. Maybe she'll be superb at it. Maybe she'll be looking, and actually the goal of for a judge truly is to find what the law is. And I'm stealing from a scholar who I've heard him say this. His name is Herb Titus. He said this, so I got to tell you my reference, so you're not going to think I'm profound. Is he said that the judge's job is to find the law and then apply it on the basis of the facts and law to the given case, to the given situation. And you know what that does? Nobody can get spun up. Look, you see what they just did? They just opened the door for more litigation against Bill Gates or something like that. How horrible. Is that what the judge is supposed to be thinking about? No. He's supposed to find out what the facts are and what law applies. Now, what the implications are, that's not their fault. If they do their job right, implications are implications. Okay, let everything, everything's just going to fall into place the way it ought to fall into place. That's not what the judge is supposed to be thinking about. They're not supposed to be making pragmatic judgments. They're not supposed to be making political judgments. They're supposed to be doing the law and facts. And they can't. Now, the problem is with Judge Sotomayor just only applying those rulings that come down from guidance of an appeals court or whatever. She's just, the problem is at the district court, I think you can get away with that, because it depends on what somebody puts before the judge. If nobody puts the right law before the judge at the district court, and they're relying on a appeals court ruling that somebody gave to them that would lean their judgment in one direction, and they go that direction, even though there is principle and precedent or stare decisis in law that would lean them the other way. If nobody puts it before the district court judge and their clerks don't do it, because you have activist clerks, then you may get a district court ruling that isn't really significant. And if it causes enough trouble, then somebody's going to appeal it. That's where the appeals court comes in. And hopefully you've got people that have done their homework and are willing to deal with that. Now, when she got on the appeals court, as I'm looking at just some of the cases that she's had, there has been the Ricky case, for instance, is one there. It was something like an activity of like a district court judge. She just kind of passed down what she thought was the appropriate law and did it in kind of a quick, not on the record kind of thing on a case that is significant. And the thing is, you got to realize about appeals courts, odds are nobody's case is going to go to the Supreme Court. And in a district court, you make a ruling knowing that that's what appeals courts are for. If you know, you're just trying to get through the business of the day, we're going to get 80% accuracy here on these cases. Well, that means we take care of 80% of the cases. And the 20% that may not be completely right, well, only less than 50% of those will be worth appealing. So we've weeded out 90% of the cases that an appeals court would have to deal with. And that's sort of what happens at a district court. But the problem is when it gets to the appeals court, the appeals court has got this huge responsibility because your case is not going to the Supreme Court. I mean, if they get 100, you know, cases they actually take in a given year out of thousands, your case is not going to make it. So it's critical that the appeals court, that's why you have three judges. I mean, there's three of them looking at them. So if there is a cause here that needs to be dealt with, well, one of them will hopefully have a passion to wake the other two up and say, hey, we got an issue here that really needs, this is the right way to construe this. And they can bounce things against each other. But so I have seen in some of these cases that she's not real energetic to stretch a little bit and reach a little bit from the right or the left to bring a kind of a wider perspective of law to bear on the situation, on the case, you know, on the case, on the particular case to scrutinize. Now, that may be. So I think that is possibility. So if anybody was going to complain, that's just as I've seen it. And I've only had a cursory look at some of the cases. So we have to be careful there. I'm going to read from what would be self-accredited liberal news organization. And this is, they say, on a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. Her biography is so compelling. That's Sonia Sotomayor. That many view her as a presumptive front-runner for Obama's first Supreme Court appointment. Now, look at why this is compelling. And see, this is why people complain about those who claim to be liberal or progressive or whatever. Look what makes her compelling. She grew up in the South Bronx, like that matters. Daughter of a Puerto Rican parents, like that matters. See, these people have racial and cultural bias. Her father, a manual laborer, like that matters, who never attended high school, like that matters, died a year after she was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 8. Okay, I don't know how that matters. She was raised by her mother. I don't know how that matters. A nurse. I don't know how that matters. And went to Princeton and then Yale Law School. Okay, we know at law school and we know they're bent. So she's actually got, I think in some of these law schools, you got to be careful. Because I know some Harvard law professors who have disavowed Harvard Law School's teaching because it's dangerous. She worked as a New York assistant district attorney, I guess that would matter, and commercial litigator before Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, now that might matter, recommended her as a district court nominee to the first President Bush. She would be the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice, doesn't matter, if you don't count Benjamin Cardozo. She went to Catholic schools, and I don't know why that matters, and would also be the sixth Catholic justice on the current Supreme Court if she is, in fact, Catholic. That doesn't matter, which isn't clear from her official biography. And this, so what I'm saying is this is a, you know, self-proclaimed liberal news organization bringing up all this stuff that has nothing to do with law. If we're really looking at justice, you know, it's supposed to be blind. And she has powerful supporters. I don't know why that matters. Last month, the two senators from New York wrote to President Obama in a burst of demographic enthusiasm, urging him to appoint Sotomayor or Ken Salazar. So these appointments are coming because of their ethnicity. That is scary. They're appointed or nominated or suggested on the basis of their ethnicity. That is insanity. Now, if you disagree, my number here is 888-850-1872. And you might wonder why I have the gall to say all that doesn't matter. So you've got some comments here from her former clerks. She is a rule-bound pragmatist. Well, okay, it depends if you're rule-bound pragmatist. The problem is pragmatists are not necessarily rule-bound. Abound. Okay, thank you for calling the Eagle 104. What's your question or comment?
David, I have a comment in reference to your last comment, and because you also solicit a caller, Dave.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your comment?
It's very dangerous in both regards, and I believe the future of our country will be decided by one group or the other. Judge Sotomayor represents one division of the Latin community, and I think, I don't know if you're familiar with United States Senator Mel Martinez.
Yes, I do. In fact, Florida Senator, but I'm going to challenge you. What does that have to do with a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, or the... Okay, you might say right and wrong, but you're going to have a tough time finding it in the first two. I mean, can you tell me why her ethnicity has anything to do with her quality?
Yeah, right. We people who actually believe in God are going to use her ethnicity to show that Senator Mel Martinez's support of what happened in Honduras is very significant. If you think that using, not you, David Allen Carmichael, but the world or anybody listening to us, that using 250 soldiers at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, we're going to stop right here. That's not a credible statement, and it's disingenuous.
That's censorship.
Okay, that's not censorship. That's called disingenuous call. We'll try that again some other time. Sotomayor's former clerks said she's a rule-bound pragmatist. When I find that people are rule-bound, they actually are not very pragmatic. Pragmatic people have a tendency to chunk the rules when they see short-term gratification rather than long-term sacrifice for long-term reward. The reason I brought up the thing of why it matters, because when I see the word rule-bound, I go, aha, that is actually a good quality. Rule-bound is superb quality. And we'll see if we've got a caller, if it's the same caller or a different caller. Hey, caller, if you're a different caller, welcome to the Eagle 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
And if you're the same caller, you're going to hang up on me?
Thank you for your call.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, so rule-bound pragmatists, I find those things are oxymorons. That's my opinion. But I find it when you're rule-bound with regard to law, that's how justice is going to occur. And you may not see that. And it may seem like that doesn't make sense. But the point of law is that law is fixed and invariable. And we in America have abandoned and don't understand that law is fixed and invariable. And what a judge's job is to do is to apply law to the facts and the situation. So I actually, some of you liberals, and as I'm going to go through this article by a liberal newspaper, some of the liberals are here in this article. There are some quotations that indicate that some folks who just consider themselves liberal to be contrary to Sotomayor, because they're almost like she's not activist enough. So I think that's dangerous. So you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. I want to deal with these issues really not on a passion persuasion, but on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. So let's see what some of these folks said. The most consistent concern was that Sotomayor, although an able lawyer, was not that smart, and was a bully to some of the people on that she's dealing with as a judge. So those are some of the challenges. You have some of her staff members that say, oh man, she's really sharp and she sticks to the rules and things like that. And then you've got another group here in this article, rather than to read every one of them, that basically deals with this. And so you've got a mixed crowd. You've got a mixed crowd. So I wonder what you think. How are they going to, let's see what people do. What are their passions? We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Second Amendment issues. See what Charlie Crist has to say about justice or nominee Sonia Sotomayor. We shall return.